Pastor, well, you know, we could preach at every service and never preach everything that there is to preach. Amen. Everything that we could find and everything that we could see and never preach the same message twice. Amen. But we're thankful that God's word is that way. It's alive. It's a living word. It just keeps giving and giving and giving, and it keeps showing us things that we need to see. You know, we're quickly approaching Christmas Day, and as we approach Christmas Day, we need to remind ourselves that the journey to Christmas for us is a journey of faith. Amen. You know, it takes faith to believe that God Himself would come to earth in the form of a little baby. Amen. And give Himself a ransom for man. Doesn't that take faith? Amen. It takes faith to believe that the very Son of God would have been conceived within the womb of a virgin, and a virgin would give birth to a baby. That's hard to believe. It takes faith to trust that. It takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to believe that that was necessary to provide the perfect sinless sacrifice that would be the one sufficient enough to die for the sins of all mankind. See, Christmas is a journey of faith. Believing the Christmas story is a journey of faith. But let me take you back to where that journey of faith began. Here in Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the Christmas story, Father, and the blessing it brings to our lives, Lord, when we realize and we know and we understand and we conceive that a Savior was sent into the world, a Savior was brought forth that day, and we celebrate that, and we honor that, and we just want to uplift that. And the only way that we can do that, and the only way that we can adequately worship you for that, is to do so in faith, believing that what you have said in your word has happened. And Lord, we believe that and we trust that. But help us tonight just to see some things that might help us, God, to grow in our journey of faith as we anticipate your coming to rapture your church, as we anticipate our eternity to be spent together with you. And Lord, help us, God, just to give glory unto you in all that we do. And we'll praise you, Father, for what we know you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Amen. We see that it was a secular decree that went out, and it was a secular action that started this journey of faith for Mary and Joseph onto that first Christmas night there in Bethlehem. Now, the Bible is clear. Sometimes we get the picture that they got to Bethlehem, and when they got there that night is the night that they gave birth. The Bible doesn't say that it happened at night. It says that when they got to Bethlehem, the days were accomplished. It doesn't say it was that night. They might have been there 2 or 3 days before she gave birth. We don't know, but we do know this. There wasn't a place for them to stay. There wasn't a place to be found where they could find lodging, but in the stable that animals were kept in. And no doubt, as they were there and as they were thankful for what they had, they didn't have to be outside in the elements. They didn't have to be outside in the open. They had some sense of a surrounding, some sense of a security. But as they started that journey and as they completed that journey, for them it was a journey of faith. So let's go back to the very beginning of where the story all begins. And we look in Luke chapter 1 and verses 30 to 38. The Bible says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And listen at this great statement of faith that Mary spoke in verse number 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. When Mary heard what seemed to be the most impossible thing that could ever happen, the most incredible thing that could have been spoken unto her, she chose to question. But when she was reminded that God can do all things, and with God there is nothing that's impossible, praise God, she made that statement of faith, be it unto me, amen, according to the word of the Lord. You know, if Christians today, if God's people today would grasp that mentality, amen, that what God's word says, we're going to believe, amen. What God's word says, we're going to do, and what God wants to do with us, and what God wants to do through us, and what God wants to do to us, we're going to accept it and let it go, simply because God said it, and with God, there's nothing impossible. Amen. You know what's lacking in our journey in this world and the journey we take is that faith in saying, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Do so to me as you want to do. How many of us are willing just to carte blanche, say we've totally surrendered, and we totally surrender everything unto God? Sometimes we, well, God, I'll do this, but... Amen. God, you can use me, but. Amen. God, I want to, but. Remember, the servant that told Jesus said, Master, I'll follow you, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, yeah, you don't need to worry about that. You need to stay the course. You need to stay strong. You need to stay with me. You can't say, I want this and I want that too. You can't put your hand to the plow and then look back and go back and say, well, I've trusted my faith and I walk my faith. To walk by faith means that we're willing to forsake everything else. Yes. Forsaking all. Amen. Amen. Forsaking all. Well, you can look around the church house tonight and see that some aren't willing to forsake all. Amen. Amen. I mean, I'm not saying it to be mean, I'm saying it to be truthful. Yeah. Amen. You know the truth will make you free. Amen. Yeah. Some folks just aren't willing to forsake all for the cause of Christ. Mary, when she made that statement, realized what she was committing herself to. Amen. Realized what was going to happen. She was going to defy convention. She was going to defy nature. She was going to defy everything that she had ever been taught and everything that she knew. But she was willing to do so to trust God. Amen. A great statement of faith that launched Mary on her journey to Christmas. Then let's look at Matthew chapter number 1. We won't be long tonight, hopefully. Amen.
Won't be long. Biggest lie ever come out of the pulpit, right? We won't be long. I know.
But look at Matthew chapter number 1, verses 20 to 25. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. This is talking about Joseph. In a dream saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not, until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, Joseph, in verse 24, as the angel is speaking unto him, and as the angel tells him what to do, he obeys what God says. Mary made a great statement of faith, but Joseph had a great act of faith. Amen. He acted upon what he was taught. Mary confessed it. Mary proclaimed it. Amen. And Joseph did the same by following through. His act of faith started him on this journey. What he was doing was defying everything that he'd ever been taught. He was defying everything that he'd ever held dear. We talked about this. We preached about this some last week. Sometimes we got to get past our individual convictions to do what God wants us to do. Amen. And sometimes some of the things that we've been taught, we need to get past. Amen. Amen. Sometimes the best thing to do is just get past your past and live in the present and do what God is telling you to do right now.
Amen.
Amen. The law said one thing, but Joseph was going to do something else. Jesus would later teach them that the only reason that the law said what it said was because of the hardness of man's heart. God had desired, God had wished for man to have a forgiving heart and a forgiving nature, just like he did. If you turn over in your Bible to Matthew chapter 19, when the Pharisees are tempting Jesus and they're bringing up the issue of divorce, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? Jesus said, no, the only reason that was ever given to divorce your wife, and the bill of divorcement was given, was that if you married a woman and found out that she wasn't a virgin, she wasn't pure. That was the only reason that was ever been given. But Jesus said, and that was only because of the hardness of your heart. You understand that? It was only because you couldn't forgive. It was only because of your nature. God in heaven forgave man for his sin and didn't destroy him and didn't just annihilate man and start over. Didn't divorce himself from man in the very beginning. And God showed mercy and grace and forgiveness even though man still paid for sin. Even though a young lady might have got herself into a situation, God will forgive her.
Amen.
I know churches today that have ostracized young ladies.
Amen.
Amen. And have hurt families and tore them apart. Why? Because of the hardness of the heart.
Yes.
Amen. I'm glad we serve a forgiving God.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm glad that we have a God that teaches us that we should try to be more like Him. And if He's a forgiving God, we ought to be a forgiving people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We ought to act like God does. Joseph was willing to defy convention and the conventional method, the conventional law. I said she was worthy to be taken out and to be stoned. And Joseph said, no, God said not to. And God said to do it this way. I'm going to defy what everybody else does. I'm going to defy what everybody else thinks I should do and what everybody else says and what I've been taught to do. He's going to defy convention and he's going to do these things because he's going to act on the Word of God.
That's right.
You know if we would learn to act on the Word of God?
Yeah.
Amen.
We'd find out a lot of the problems in our lives
wouldn't
exist.
That's right.
I said a lot of them because some of them come from the outside.
Yeah.
But we can eliminate the problems in our heart and from our side of the situation if we would just act upon the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I've had people with issues where folks have had problems with one another in the church, and we sit down and together, and I don't mealy mouth and
I'll fuss around about it, and anybody that's ever been there with me can tell you, we will be here at the church, both the sides of the issue. We'll open the Word of God, and we'll sit there, and we'll see what the Word of God says, and hopefully, and every time so far, praise God, when there's ever been an issue, everybody has left, with forgiveness in their heart. Everybody has left because of dealing with things the way that the Word of God says. You know, if we would act upon the Word of God, it would stop a lot of the problems.
Amen.
If Christians would only act and travel this journey that we're on together, according to thus saith the Word of God, we see great difference in the way that we deal with situations, the way we deal with one another. Amen. We would love one another. Even when the world says, why can you love somebody that is
not? That's right. Amen.
Because Jesus told me to forgive.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you can't forgive your brother, how do you expect me to forgive you?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Joseph knew, after God talked to him, that he was going to defy what everybody else would think he should do. He went against tradition, but he protected her reputation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, sometimes the greatest thing a Christian can do is to defy what the world says we should do.
Amen.
Right.
To protect the reputation of the bride of Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I hear people, that bunch down there, they're always fussing and feuding. The church over there, they've done this and they've done that, and they've done, and there's just, every time you go around, there's just a bunch of fussing and feuding. There's nothing worse. There's nothing worse for the reputation of a church than to hear that there's been a church split.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But Joseph, acting upon God's word, protected the reputation of his bride. Amen.
Amen.
Do you realize that when Jesus went to an old rugged cross and he died for sinners, he was protecting his bride.
Amen.
He was preparing his bride. He forgives his bride.
Amen.
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 Why? Because he loves his bride.
Amen.
And if he loves the bride, shouldn't we love the bride as well?
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Shouldn't we strive to keep the reputation, to keep the purity of the bride?
Amen.
Even though the world might not understand it. Well, you got people down at your church that have done everything. Mine, I'm sure we do. Amen. If you knew some of the things some of the people in your church have done, amen. They make your hair stand on it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're forgiven.
Amen. Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. God forgiven. Sister. Told a friend that I went to school with that goes to Maranatha Baptist Church that I was the pastor down here, and she says, "You don't mean Dennis Gilbert?" She said, "Yeah." She said, not that Dennis Gilbert, the mother. She said, "No, that one." Hey, man, you know why? Because from the world's eyes and from her eyes, even though she's a child of God,
mm-hmm.
she still remembered the old man.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Amen. She still remembered the old Dennis. Amen. She still remembered the Dennis that was, I was young.
Slicing and cutting.
Amen. Amen. She remembered that Dennis.
Yeah.
But when she found out what God had done,
amen.
She gave God glory and
praise.
See, we need to protect.
Yeah.
We need to protect our the reputation of the church.
That's right.
Amen. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to forgive someone that's wronged you, that God says forgive them anyway.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. It takes faith to do right when someone has done wrong. And you're going to do right to them anyway. Mm-hmm. It takes faith. What's that done? That's protecting the reputation of the bride.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The Bible says there in verse number 25 in Matthew 1. And he knew her not that she brought first. Brought forth her firstborn son. Joseph knew her not, but he assured the validity. He assured the accuracy. He assured the proof of the virgin birth of Christ. Why is that important? Because we got so many today, even in our religious circles, that say, well, Mary, it just means that she was a young maiden. It was her first time being pregnant. No, she was a virgin. Amen?
Yeah.
Some say, well, she was probably raped by a Roman soldier and Joseph decided to accept her. No, she was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. Amen? And Joseph was told what had happened. And Joseph was told how this child was conceived. And Joseph chose to maintain his distance from what God had done and not to interfere with God's work until God's work could be fulfilled in that virgin's life and that son, that thing that was happening inside of Mary would come forth, the Savior of the world, the only one who was pure enough, the only one who was sure enough, the only one that was good enough to take on the cause that he was sent to.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we need to ensure, we need to act upon the Word of God.
That's right.
Amen. To ensure the validity.
Yeah.
You know, a Christian, I heard somebody say that there's nothing worse than a drunk Baptist.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 It's true. Somebody claims to be a child of God. Later drunk somewhere. You can add that to about anything. Supposed to be a child of God, but they're into this. Supposed to be a child of God, but they're into that. Supposed to be a child of God, but they're here. Supposed to be a child of God, but they're there. The thing that marked Jesus, the thing that Joseph did by constraining himself. Listen to this. By constraining himself, gave validity to the claims of the virgin birth.
Amen.
The thing that we can do when we learn to constrain ourselves is give validity to the new creation in Christ. Give validity to the very Word of God when it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Amen. He's a new creature. He's a new individual. Give validity to the words of God when he says that he would put a new heart in us and he would do a new work in us. Amen. Give validity to the change that salvation brings to our lives. We can restrain and constrain ourselves to give validity to the fact that what God said would happen in an individual's life when they trusted him and when they confessed their sins and they put their sins under the blood, indeed,
yes.
Can happen.
Yes.
You know why so many people don't want what we have? Because they don't see no difference.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
They see no validity. Well, I'm just as good as they are.
Yes.
My man, I've seen them down at the liquor store.
I
heard them out in public, and man, you ought to heard of the way they were talking to people and the way they were treating people. I did this with them and I did that with them. And if they're Christians, well, I don't need none of that.
Amen. Yeah.
How many times have you heard that?
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Joseph constrained himself to give validity to the claim of God.
Yes.
On Mary's life. Couldn't we do the same? And shouldn't we do the same?
Amen.
And then in the last part of verse 25 says that, and read on that. And he knew not that she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is what God told him to call him. Then this is what he was instructed to do. And he named him. He was had the right to call the child whatever he wanted to. Had the right to place whatever name he wanted to on that child that God had commanded him. God had instructed him to call that child Jesus. Amen. Because he would save his people. He would be the Savior of the world. And God gave him that instruction. He gave him that name and that title. And thereby he was claiming that he was the Father and Jesus was his. Amen. He was accepting responsibility for that child, for whatever his name was. Remember when Zacharias wanted to name John, they said, there's nobody in your family named that. There's nobody in Joseph's family named Jesus. But praise God, God said to name him Jesus. And named him Jesus. I want you to know something. There's another name that we have. Another name that gives identity. Another name that gives clarity. Another name that will point the world to we are. Jesus was named Jesus because he was Savior. That's what he means. His Savior, salvation in the Lord. There's several different interpretations of it. But essentially, it means Savior. And praise God, there's a name that's been given to us. A name that we carry. A name that we bear. A name that we have the authority to tear up or to build up. To break down or to build up. Either way you want to see it. It's a name that's above every name. It's the name of Jesus. And they were called Christians first in the Antioch. And we carry that name with us. And people look at us and they should be able to say, there's a Christian. We know he's a Christian.
Amen.
Because he bears the name of his Father.
Amen.
Amen. He bears the name that his Father gave him. Joseph didn't name that child. God named the child.
That's right.
But Joseph took the authority and said, we're going to name him Jesus.
Right.
We're not going to call him Joseph Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because he's not a Joe Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's right.
He's Jehovah Jr.
Amen.
Amen. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Shalom. Amen. He's everything that Jehovah is. Is in this child. Amen. And our lives should bear that testimony that as we claim the name of Christ.
That's right.
We claim it with the authority of the blood that's been shed on Calvary. We claim it with the authority of a blood-bought conversion that took place because of what happened at Calvary. Because we confessed our sins and we trusted Him as our Savior.
Amen.
Joseph's journey of faith to Christmas began when he acted upon what thus saith the Word of God.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen. God said it. Joseph did it.
Amen.
God said it. And Mary accepted it.
Amen.
That's right.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph went up also. And Joseph also went up, rather, from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, and into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. A secular decree. A secular action started them on that journey. But I don't think it was a decree. I don't think it was an action that happened by accident. I think it was a decree that was orchestrated before the foundations of the world. Augustus Caesar was the greatest of all the Caesars that ever lived. The world knew the greatest time of peace under Roman rule during the time of Augustus than it had ever known. The world knew the greatest time of prosperity under Roman rule, under the Roman emperor Augustus, when he ruled. There was so much that happened during the time of Augustus that as you look back and as history recounts it and looks at him, we talk about Julius Caesar. Julius was a great military leader and a great military mind, and he was a great one for manipulating things to his favor and on his behalf. But the greatest of all the Roman emperors in totality and everything that was accomplished is considered Augustus. And Augustus knew that his empire was so great that he needed to know that he was getting everything from the empire that he should. In other words, Rome wanted to be sure that their investment was paying good dividends and they wasn't being cheated. So he sent out a decree that taxation should be done upon all people, that everybody should go back. And I don't know if it happened in all nations, but in among the Jews, they consider the house of your father to be your home, where you should be taxed from, where you should be counted from. See, that's where your family owned. What the Romans wanted to do was tax what was owned and tax those who owned it. Your family only owned according to what they had inherited. Amen. Go back and read when God divided the property and he divided the land and he told them it's their inheritance, and that inheritance remains in the family, and that there were various laws that had to come about and some things. Remember the daughters of, Zelophehad? He had the daughters and they had to make special exceptions for them because he had no sons. All he had was daughters and there was no one to pass the inheritance to, and they had to figure out how the inheritance would take place. But the property always remained in that family. I remember when Ahab went to Naboth, he had the property next to Naboth, and he wanted Naboth's property. And Naboth told him, said, I can't sell it. It's my inheritance. It's what belonged in my family. I can't let it go. And he said, I'll give you a better vineyard. He said, that's all right. A better vineyard isn't going to supply, isn't going to change what God has instructed me to keep in my family. It's my inheritance. It's my children's inheritance. And Ahab, his wife, he pouted enough that his wife schemed up a scheme to have people lie about Naboth, and they killed Naboth and his children, and they took his property because the only way he could get it from him was to kill him. The only way they could get his inheritance was to kill him. Joseph and Mary had to go back to where David's family's inheritance was, and that inheritance was in Bethlehem. He had to go back to that city. He had to go back to that place under Jewish rule. It made it a cruel and arduous journey. They figure it's anywhere from
when you read the different commentators and different parts of, as you study, it's anywhere from 70 to 90 miles. There's a 20-mile variance in there somewhere between what different ones feel the journey was. But for them, and this husband and this wife who is right near her time of delivery, she could deliver any time. It's a difficult and arduous journey, and they figure it probably took anywhere from 8 to 10 days for them to make the journey.
Amen.
But it was a journey filled with great difficulty. We always see Mary pictured riding on a donkey. I doubt they had a donkey. They were poor. It would have been hard. A donkey was a luxury. Amen. You know, we see a lot of couples, young couples get married today, and man, they got two or three vehicles right off the bat. They got to have two vehicles because this one's got to have, the husband's got to have a vehicle, the wife's got to have a vehicle. We got married, we was married 6-7 years before we ever had two vehicles. We was fortunate to have the one. Amen. I mean, we thought we were blessed because we had one vehicle. And it was frustrating because sometimes she'd have to take me to work, then go and do doctor's appointments or whatever she had to do, and then come pick me back up after work, or I had to find somebody to bring me home from work or whatever, or walk home or whatever. But the thing of the matter is, it didn't make things easy. But I don't even think they had the one vehicle. Amen. I doubt they had that. I think their journey was one of war. I think they estimate that for them to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem, they had to go from Nazareth of Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea. They had to go down through Samaria, which nobody wanted to do anyhow, down along by Jericho, and then make the journey to Bethlehem. That means they had to descend down to the place of the lowest city on the face of the earth, the city of Jericho, was the route that they would have taken, and then climb the 3,500 foot elevation back up to Bethlehem. It wasn't easy. Here is a woman ready to deliver at any moment. And she's walking. I don't know about most of y'all women, but I know the one I was married to. When she was supposed to deliver it, she was miserable. Not in her actions, but she was ready for the baby to be born. I've seen some of these ladies run around and their belly sticking way out, and I mean, they just say, I'm ready for this kid to be born. I'm ready for this baby to be born. It's just nothing. And she was walking with her husband. I don't know. They asked to make the average journey in that time of about 8 to 10 days. Maybe with her being pregnant, it might have even took longer. They might even have to start out sooner. Because they might have had to walk for a while and sit for a while. Walk for a while and sit for a while. Or if she's anything like mine when she was pregnant, I better not go there. You couldn't pass the restroom. Amen. Amen. You couldn't ride past. We used to go home, being Norfolk, come up from Norfolk. You're home, we'd leave them on, and I'd go to the bathroom. Make sure you go to the bathroom. Get on the road and get on back. It's a 5-hour trip back. You go to bed, y'all went to the bathroom. We get out of here. I gotta go to the bathroom. You might stop. I don't care. We can't stop. We're not stopping. You know when we stop, we get to Dumfries. Anybody know where Dumfries is? She talked about Dumfries so much, her mom thought Dumfries was some great big plaza, the greatest, biggest thing in the world.
It's a rest area south of Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. on 95. Her mom came down when she had the baby. It was the first trip her mom made down. She says, "We stopped at Dumfries." She says, "It was nothing. That's a, it was a bathroom, Mom." "It was a bathroom. At that time, it was the most important thing in the world to me." Now I can imagine this journey wasn't much different. Mm-hmm. Difficult things. Problems. But they kept her going.
Yes.
They kept her going. Because mm-hmm. I believe that Joseph knew those scriptures. Mm-hmm. I believe he knew the scripture about the virgin giving birth.
I believe he knew the scripture about that the child had to be born in Bethlehem. I believe he knew the scripture, and he wanted to ensure that his scripture was fulfilled, and God had orchestrated things so that everything could be done according to his plan. And as they started this journey, and as they began to make this journey to Christmas, they done so on faith, trusting God. God said she was going to bring forth the baby. God said she was going to have a baby. It don't matter where she has it, as long as we're in Bethlehem. It doesn't matter if it's in a stable. It doesn't matter if we have a place to stay when we get there. God is going to take care of things. The only way they could have made that journey and started that journey was a journey of faith.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Trusting God.
Amen.
God had done told Mary what's going to happen. She said, "Be it unto me." God done told Joseph what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph did just what God said. He acted. And now, everything's been thrown into turmoil. Now, we got to go to Bethlehem. How else could they have made that journey but to make it on faith?
That's
right. And sometimes we walk through this life and we deal with the things that we deal with. Some things aren't easy. Sometimes we face difficult challenges along the way. Loved ones die. Not just old people, young kids.
Yeah.
Children. People that we love dearly. They die. It's a difficulty along the way. Sometimes we get the doctor's reports and it's difficult to accept mm-hmm. what's been said.
Right.
Sometimes we don't know what's going to befall us and what's going to be said to us
right.
tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so many things have already beset us and fallen upon us that we don't think that we can handle one more thing, just one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
One more straw is going to break the camel's back.
Mm-hmm.
And here it comes.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep going? How do you stay on the journey that God has laid out? Walk by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Bible says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yeah.
Amen. We don't know all that's going to happen.
That's right.
But we can make a proclamation of our trust in God's word.
Mm-hmm.
We can make a demonstration of our trust in God's word. And we can go forward and face the difficulties that God has told us in his word would be before us and realize and know that he's going to complete everything that he said he's going to do.
Amen.
See, we're on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
We're not on a journey to Bethlehem. I'm on a journey to a much larger city.
Amen.
A much greater city.
Yes.
Amen.
A much more magnificent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're on a journey to that celestial city of God.
Yes.
And we realize, no, we're nothing but pilgrims and strangers here below.
Yeah.
And Jesus told us the journey is going to be fraught with problems. In John 16:33, Jesus said, I told you these things that in me you might have peace. Mm-hmm. For in this world you shall have tribulations.
Yeah.
Shall means it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Shall means you're going to deal with them. Shall means you're going to face them. He said, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Amen. We're on a journey that requires us to walk by faith, to live by faith, and to approach our final destination with a journey of faith. We could preach about the wise men. We could preach about other people that came to Jesus at different times. And you know, everyone that came to Jesus came by faith.
Amen.
And the only way that we're going to see him is to continue in faith.
Yeah.
You know, we've been looking in the adult class, we're studying the book of Revelation. And Revelation, God tells the churches as he's writing to the seven churches that they would overcome if they did something. You know, sometimes we think, well, we're overcomers. We go to church, we're overcoming. He says, they overcome when they keep my word.
Yeah.
Amen? They didn't overcome just because they went to church and looked pretty. They didn't overcome just because they said something had happened. They overcome because they lived something that they said had happened.
Amen?
And that's the same way we're going to overcome. That's the same way we're going to reach our journey. That's the same way we're going to find victory. In Jesus. It was the birth of the age of grace, the dispensation of grace, when God sent forth his Son, born of a virgin, to redeem us from the curse of sin, that we might become the sons and daughters of a living God. It's a journey that we walk with great care. It's a journey that we take with a great testimony. It's a journey that we make trusting wholly and solely upon him to get us to the other side. Jesus told his disciples, let us go to the other side. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, plural, that ye, singularly, an individual, should follow in his steps.
Amen.
And his journey was a difficult journey. But he walked it by faith. Our journey will be a difficult journey, but we must walk it by faith. Stand our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed.